Welcome, my friends, family, peers, fellow human beings. Welcome to Laurier News at Noon. What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the show.
So first, to start off, we're going to talk about some COVID news. So as many of you may have known, the Omicron variant has reached to Canada. They are not sure exactly whether it will be as bad as like Delta. However, the WHO has warned that the global risk from Omicron is very high. And early evidence shows that it might be more contagious than other variants of concern. However, for vaccinated people, it does not seem to be any worse unless the person has a pre-existing condition. So the fact that a lot of us are already vaccinated could be hopeful. However, we shouldn't be complacent about it. So just be careful out there. Our cases have kind of been going up a little bit, but they seem to be coming back down, because I believe last week we had like 900 something, and today it's back down to 300 and a little bit. I mean, sorry, not 300, 600 and a bit. That's hopeful, but at the same time, we should be more vigilant about it.
Yeah, man, COVID, I don't like you. I want you to go far away and stay there, because we are tired of this.
So tired of this.
This stuff.
When I read it, I was like, bruh, not again.
Yeah. Holy, bro.
It's like Canada and other countries have taken some steps, because the variant was first identified in Southern Africa. So we have travel bans currently on South Africa, Mozambique, Namibia, Zimbabwe, Botswana, Lesotho, and Eswatini. And similarly, countries like Hong Kong also have this. However, it may be a bit too late to stop this, because as I mentioned before, we've already had like 4 cases reported. And although like our arrival and traveling system in Canada is pretty strict, it's still not really enough, if you know what I mean. Like, it's not gonna stop it, because I feel like once you've already detected a variant, like, there's no way to stop that from spreading.
No, it's,
you see what I mean?
Yeah, bro, it's so true. And it's like, people, I always hear people being like, well, if it's mandatory negative test, how do they bring it? Well, my friend, let me explain to you. Yeah. If you you can go and get a COVID test on a Wednesday and have a negative test on a Thursday and fly on a Friday, and in that 3-day period is when you're like, yeah, when the COVID starts showing up, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Because it takes a couple of days to incubate in your system to show up. So you could have been exposed, but by the time you do your test, like, it's not visible.
Exactly. And all these people are like, oh, if it's a negative test, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no. Good try. Yeah. Good try. But yeah, I have some more. I'll just give everyone some. I have like live updates from just Omicron news. I'm gonna call it Omi, because I don't like Omicron. That sounds like either like a Pokemon or like a Transformer or something. I swear. So Omi. So the World Health Organization has called on Tuesday for countries to keep calm and take rational, quote unquote, measures in response to the new Omi strain. We call on all member states to take rational, proportional risk reduction measures, World Health Organization Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, excuse my terrible pronunciation, said in a briefing to countries. So yeah, basic stuff. So yeah, it's the Omicron is already in Netherlands. Once South Africa alerted the WHO, so it was already in Europe when it was discovered in Africa. So it was quite, it's quite likely it wasn't actually originating in Africa. It maybe originated just, you know, multiple places at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so 8 more of these cases found in England. A further 8 have been identified in England, making the total number to 13, which in actuality is probably like 500,000, if we're going to be real. Not 500,000, but, you know, it's probably like triple the actual number. Shout out to COVID. Switzerland is considering tighter restrictions to contain the rising number of new COVID cases. And the government said all of this following an emergency meeting. So they're consulting with local authorities in Switzerland on whether to make COVID-19 certificates, which provide proof of COVID-19 vaccination, recovery, or a negative test. So much like how we have out here, but I think maybe a bit more extreme.
Yeah. And, even we have those things, though. Like, apparently there's been lots of cases of people, like, faking those type of documents. Like, I'm just seeing on the news right now, the Border Service Agency says workers intercepted more than 350 fake COVID tests and vaccination documents at borders. Can you imagine?
Yeah, no, I'm honestly not surprised, though.
Like, no trip is worth faking that type of stuff, man, because I'm sure you can get fined or thrown in jail, like... I don't know why anyone would weigh that cost and think it's worth it.
Yeah, I guess, like, I don't know, maybe some of them look really like authentic, but like I guess some of the border people just know exactly what to look for and whatnot. But I feel like a lot of the people got intercepted were trying to go to like Niagara Falls to like...
You think? Well, according to this article, it says that Canadians were technically allowed to come in, but they would be facing the law afterwards. But like, if you're not a Canadian citizen, they would not be allowed to enter.
I see. Interesting.
Yeah. They seem to just only offer fines, though, which I feel like that's too small. You should send them to jail.
Yeah.
That's literally public health risk, man.
Yeah, I don't know. They're already suffering enough, not able to go to literally anything. So
yeah,
you know, maybe jail is for them. Maybe it's not. I don't know. You know, like
unless the fine is like $1 million or something. I feel like the it's not gonna bother anyone because as long as they have enough money, but. Then they'll just be like, okay, I can do whatever I want. Because apparently the fine is only $825.
Yeah.
That's plus tax and fees. That's like nothing.
Yeah, that's not terrible. What the heck? Yeah. Let me just give a quick shout out. Let me look up her name real quick. So Honduras, which was like previously, I don't know if it still is, but like one of the most dangerous countries in the world. Just like murder rate and whatnot. So they're actually set to have their first female prime minister, and her name is Xiomara Castro. And yes, not prime minister, sorry, president. The country's first female president. And here's the interesting thing. So she's the wife of the former president who in 2009 was ousted in like a military coup. And now she's like, I guess, like, you know, like avenging her husband's forced removal. And now she's becoming the first Honduran female president, which I think is good. She's pretty left leaning, which is probably good for them. Not too sure. Who knows? We'll see. And shout out to Castro. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of influential females, Barbados became a republic either yesterday or today, and they appointed Rihanna as a national hero.
Is she Barbadian?
Yeah, she's Barbadian, and she's now a national hero of Barbados. Republic of Barbados.
That is interesting.
So what
does that mean? It became like a republic, like it's no longer part of like the Commonwealth or whatever.
Well, that means that they no longer recognize the Queen as their head of state. So I think Canada also recognizes the Queen as the official head of state. Same with Jamaica. But I think once you deny once you separate yourself from relation with the Queen, it's not a republic.
Oh, okay. So like they're more they're more sovereign now, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Barbados, man. Y'all deserved it. I don't know much about Barbados, but I feel like everyone deserves to not be associated with the Queen of England, if I'm being honest.
You know? I mean, it's about time. Like, that was hundreds of years ago. We should just move on and stop being, like, part of a monarchy. You know, that doesn't really make any sense. Like, what's the relevance of that nowadays?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, for real. But, yeah. I'm seeing all these, like, these headlines being like, why Omicron is the most worrying COVID variant yet?
And no, the headline.
yeah. And I'm like, and then I'm reading it, and then it's like, well, we actually need 3 weeks to know anything about it. But we're just going to say that it's, like, they're essentially saying it's the most worrying because it has, like, 30-plus mutations or whatever. Which I guess makes sense, but, like, I refuse to believe that this is going to be life for, like, the next 10 years. Because that's what it's looking like, honestly. Like, I swear.
Yeah, like, it's like, we were so glad because it was like, oh, seems like everything's going back to normal. And then suddenly Omicron comes along and they're like, never mind.
oh, God, bro. This is, I feel like COVID's like humans' punishment for how bad we've been for our whole existence.
Probably.
You know, like, this is our, like, 21st century punishment for, like, just climate change and extinction and war and capitalism. And honestly, we kind of deserve it, guys. Let's be real. We're not the greatest of people, but we can be better. So let's be better so that COVID goes away and never comes back, because that's how the universe works in my mind. Yeah.
Currently, unvaccinated travelers in Canada can no longer board planes and trains as of today.
You see, I thought that was already in effect, like, a long time ago.
Well, technically, it was implemented in October, but it's just coming into effect now. So there's, like, they gave them a grace period window of, like, a month, I guess, to get all their stuff sorted out. But, like, yeah, now if you're not vaccinated, you cannot board a plane or a passenger train. And you can no longer substitute a negative COVID test.
That's probably good, but, like, I feel bad for, like, the people who, like, actually can't get vaccinated for, like, you know, like, whatever medical reason, and then, like,
The people with exemptions are still, like, allowed to go. They just have to have that well-documented, you know?
Oh, okay. Good.
Like, they have to have their medical exemption documented. Like, valid medical exemptions and people traveling to remote communities only accessible by train. And also people who are, like, stopping over in Canada. But they still need to do the recent COVID test, so.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
This one's for you, Rajni. So apparently in Jamaica, a mythic white sperm whale was finally captured on film.
Really? That's so cool. I had no idea.
I mean,
I thought it was, like, too dirty for sperm whales. Like, the harbor water, I thought it was too dirty for whales.
It says, okay, it was filmed off the coast of Jamaica, a white sperm whale, outrageously pale against the blue waters, quote, unquote. Yeah, sperm whales are generally gray, black, or even brown in appearance, so the white ones, I guess, are rare. An expert on the species said, I don't think I've ever seen a fully white sperm whale. I've seen ones with quite a lot of white on them, usually in patches and near the belly. So, that's pretty interesting, actually. Wasn't Moby Dick white?
I think he was.
He was, right?
Oh.
So, guys, we found Moby Dick off the coast of Jamaica. Rajni, you're going to go visit him when you
go back. That's so cool. I wonder if I'll see it.
That'd be crazy if you just randomly saw the sperm.
I know.
But,
that is really interesting, because I always assumed that our harbor and, like, our coastal water was not doing very well, like, in terms of marine life. I thought it was a bit too polluted and overfished to have a whale there.
Yeah, maybe it's just, like, passing by, you know?
Maybe.
Just saying hi, you know, doing the due diligence and then going back.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, anyone in Jamaica or any Jamaicans listening, look out for a white sperm whale. that made front page news. Yeah. Did you hear about the dinghy? Is that the word dinghy? Like the shipping container thing? I think it was a dinghy.
Yeah.
That
the rubber boat.
Yeah, it sunk off the coast of France and it killed like.
I didn't hear about it.
Yeah, it killed like 30 plus migrants who were trying to basically make it to the UK. And I think the majority of them were Kurdish, which is where a lot of the people in the Belarusian border crisis are from.
Oh.
So, yeah, and then the Kurdish. I don't think it was the president, but like one of the foreign affairs or something like that. One of the politicians. Mm. The title doesn't really matter because they all kind of do similar stuff. One of the main Kurdish politicians basically made a statement saying like, "I don't know why my people are leaving. Like they're not being forced to leave. Blah 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 blah. Wow. Like, if they ever want to come back, they're open and welcome." When in actuality, yeah, like it's not like Iraqi Kurdistan's like in a deep conflict like how Syrian Kurdistan is like in or whatever, you know, like other parts of the world. But at the same time,
yeah,
in economic crises, people are
exactly kind
of forced to move. That's what people don't understand. It's like, oh, there's no war, but it's like, bro, if there's no money,
exactly. And it's like they're probably worried that war will spill over eventually, because I feel like it's only a matter of time in some situations.
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly. Instability is instability. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter where you're from or, you know, who you are. Like, if you can't put food on your table, you gotta go.
And take care of your family. Like, you have to go. Like,
exactly.
You're gonna feel that you have to go.
And everyone's like, oh, like, if you're from the Middle East, why are you going all the way to Europe? And it's like, my friend, like.
Because everyone else is, like, surrounded by wars. Well, exactly. I don't understand.
Why would you risk? Why would you spend money and risk your life to move from instability to more instability? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And a lot of these countries too have like strict, like asylum migrant laws and whatnot. Even like third world countries are not always welcoming to migrants and immigrants and whatnot. So you know, people got to keep this in mind. Like, you know, every time someone's doing something risky, they're doing it for a reason. You know what I mean?
For a reason. People don't just take up their whole life and, like, leave for no reason, you know?
No, yeah, exactly. So, I don't know.
The reason why I asked about Belarus and Lithuania is that apparently the Belarusian president, Alexander Lukashenko, is accusing Lithuanian authorities of dumping the bodies of migrants on the border between the two countries.
Wow.
So,
Wow.
It's basically he's trying to cast like this tension over immigrants and everything as some kind of Western plot against Belarus and Russia.
Yeah, that is that is not what I like to hear.
Yeah. So he said that the border guards found the bodies of two people left on the border over the weekend, and he said that they put a dead body or probably a person who was still alive in a sleeping bag and tossed it on the border. Messed up.
No, yeah, that is not good to hear, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah. And so in response to that, Lithuania is saying that Belarusian authorities are the ones who are like staging and directing the abuse of migrants, and then blaming Lithuania for that kind of treatment. So it's all, and then they also charged that the Belarusian border guards found several people who were like freezing and barely alive in an abandoned house near the border with Lithuania.
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically the migrants are becoming like a political pawn between the EU and Belarus.
Yeah. No, that was what I was getting from that story, and it's just I don't like talking about this stuff because it's just so stupid, you know? Like, that's like the best way to describe it is stupid, because it's just like these politicians playing a dumb little game, and then these people just losing
their lives. And people are dying.
Yeah, you know
what I mean? People are literally dying.
It's so preventable, you know? Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, Belarus, is dismissing concerns that Russia plans to invade Ukraine. And he says that if anything were to happen, Belarus would side with Russia. So,
wow.
That is not good at all.
Yeah, pray for the people. Pray for the migrants, man.
I can just finish up with just talking about the earthquake that struck Peru on Sunday. It had a magnitude of 7.5, and it hit northern Peru.
Wow. That's like the big one, right? That's the most, 7 is like the highest level or whatever, right?
No, 10 is the highest.
Oh. But,
fortunately, like, the epicenter of the earthquake was pretty deep at about 112 kilometers. So that reduced the casualty and damage. But a church did collapse, like a 16th century church collapsed, and 3 people were lightly injured.
Oh, damn.
The biggest problem, I think, is just the blockage and destruction of roads and stuff.
Yeah.
Because it says that falling stones block the highways and so on.
Yeah, damaged infrastructure, yeah. Look at BC, bro. Like, look at what the even, like, when people are, like, you know, no one's getting hurt from the floods, like, shipping from the West Coast is all backlogged. Mm-hmm. Flights are back, you know, everything is kind of impacted by that.
This is climate change.
Well, yeah, welcome to our life, Rajni. This is going to be it for the next 50 or whatever years. Shout out to our parents. Yeah.
Well, that's about time. So I think we can just close up here. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And have a great week.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll see you next week for our last episode.
Yes, thank you, everyone. Please keep your head up. Think about the bright things in life. And yeah, have a great week. Adios.
Thank you. Bye.